That was a blessing. I asked Danny, because he's put in here Danny D. I said, how do you want me to introduce you, Danny D and the Silhouettes? And he said, no, when I was in Colorado, I used to belong to a group, and we used to be called Danny D and the Hog Callers. And that's why Brother Kincaid said that. We appreciate it. Anyway, tomorrow will be the last night, you just have two more days, tonight and tomorrow, to designate your checks, your love offerings. Make sure you put for revival. If you put for revival, then the speaker will wind up getting all the offerings that will be for Billy. And don't forget to bring someone. This is a typical Saturday. Usually on Saturdays, we lose a lot of crowd. But it's still a decent crowd. Every night it's been filled. We've had a lot of visitors today. Like usual, you know, it's a little more slimmer than any other day. Nevertheless, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. It's been a blessing every night. I've been filled with the Word of God. The Spirit of God has been touching me. He's been convicting me of some things. And I hope you also allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart also tonight. We have, let me see, just one, anybody else has any announcement that I'm forgetting? If not, then we have one more special. That would be Sister Nelda, and then the evangelist, Billy Kincaid, will be bringing the message. Amen.
Tan lejos de Dios sentí y sin el perdón de Jesús, mas cuando su voz amorosa oí que dijo ven a la luz, ya todo dejé para andar en la luz. Dejé por seguir a Jesús y vivo en la luz de su paz. My soul in sad exile was out of life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice, may make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. In tempest made sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe. The Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more.
Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. I want to say I've really been blessed, especially blessed this week, by the special music I guess it's because it's been so many hymns, and I just love those old hymns, you know. It just really does bless me. I guess I was raised listening to this kind of music, and, you know, we were always in church, you know. I personally can't imagine where I'd rather be than in church on Saturday night. I don't understand why this would be the lowest night. This doesn't make sense to me. There came a time when all of a sudden I just realized that I needed to be serving the Lord, and I wanted to serve the Lord, and man, that's where I wanted to be, in church. I remember going out with some spiritual friends, but after I became spiritual, I had some spiritual friends, and I remember I'd go somewhere and they'd say, "Hey, there's a revival going on in such and such a church in such and such a town," and we would pile in the car and head out to that revival. Amen. One time they had a revival over here. I forget where it was, somewhere on the south side. And so we all said, "We'll just go crash that party, you know." And so we just showed up there, and turns out they were having a contest. And so they had a whole bunch of different churches entered in this contest for the young people or what have you. And so a friend of mine says, "Hey, let's enter the contest." And it turns out it was going to be, you know, questions on the book of Jude. He says, "So you read the first half and I'll read the second half." So we were reading and we won. We won. Man, I tell you, those are some good old times. When you give your life to the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Lord can He can make you have a pretty good time on Saturday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That word "succored thee" just means "help thee." Just an old English word means "helped." That's for all you archaically challenged people. You know. "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now." Now is the accepted time. I don't know if you've thought about it, but not all times are the same. The Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun. And you can be too early or you can be too late. You can try to do things outside of their time, and either they're wrong or they won't work. It has to be the right time. And I think about the times that God has given, has set aside for the time of salvation. He says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time." It makes me think that there was a time that it wasn't the accepted time, and salvation was not even being offered. I think of the time in Noah's day when it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But it doesn't say he was out there leading people to Christ or trying to get them saved or helping them to find repentance. These were preachers of righteousness, and they preached you had to live a certain way and you had to be a certain way, and that God was angry. And when the time came, the Lord sent a flood that killed them all. That wasn't the day of salvation. That was the day of condemnation. That was the day of destruction. That was the flood that wiped them all out. Old ladies died in that flood. Young babies died in that flood. All kinds of animals died in that flood. The only ones that lived were those, that one family, and those animals that happened to get into the ark. Everybody outside of the ark, they're lost. They were gone. They perished in the flood. That wasn't the day of salvation. That wasn't the time. What about the time when the Lord said, "I have heard a report about Sodom and Gomorrah. I heard this report, and I'm going to go see if it's true." And he didn't even bother to go venture in. He just stayed off a little ways away. He sent in two angels. And those two angels went in and found out that it was exactly true what he had heard. And the angel said, "It's time to get out. This is not the time of salvation. We're not trying to win these people. We're not trying to get them to repent. We're not trying to help them out. We don't have any 12-step program that helps these people out. It's over. It's time." In fact, they tarried so long in that night trying to get those people out that it looks to me like it's saying that the Lord even was hindered from taking care of the thing that He had decided to do. He wanted it to happen by daybreak, but they took so long they had to almost grab them by the hand and drag them out. That wasn't the day of salvation. That wasn't the time. They might have, you know, somebody might have said, "Well, that's just not fair." Well, the Lord's not dealing in fairness. And the fact is, if you want to talk about fairness would have been not to let them live another day. Amen. not to let them live as long as they did. Righteousness would have been destroy them from the beginning as soon as they start going down that path. Take care of them. Who knows how many people they deceived? Who knows how many people they raped before they tried to rape those angels? It wasn't the time of salvation then. It was the time of destruction. It was the time of the Lord's anger. It was the time of condemnation. God was fed up with their horrible wickedness. Sometimes I wonder how the Lord can just put up with the horrible wickedness that's going on in the earth today. Talk about fairness. Talk about, you know, Lord, you have to consider us. You got to be merciful. No, the Lord doesn't have to be. The Lord doesn't have to wait another day. He does not have to accept you any longer. He could just finally say, today is the day and I'm going to end it all. Still, what here the apostle says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day. I get to thinking about the times the Bible talks about, not the day of salvation, but things like the day of vengeance, or the day of trouble, or the evil day. All kinds of things. There's some whole lot of bad things out there that can happen. You can get yourself in some bad trouble, and it's an evil day. You know, these evil days come upon you. You don't know what to do about it. You can't do anything about it. You don't have control over anything. But he says, not today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I think how many people aren't paying attention to the time? They're not paying attention to what is today. What God is offering today. I think there's a lot of people holding, trusting in the status quo. Thinking everything's just going to be all right. Things are going to keep on going like they always have been going. And you know, the Bible says that these scoffers that say that, nothing's changed since as long as we can remember. As far back as we can go in recorded history, it's the same moon, it's the same sun, it's the same and all that stuff. Bunch of scoffers don't even want to believe what it says about the flood and that the Lord has already taken care of this world once and that He's going to do it again. Now is the accepted time. You know, one thing that sinners, those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, one thing they ought to be paying attention to is the fact that God promised over and over and over in His Word that this world's not going to last forever. Amen. He's got a day that's coming and it's going to be the end. Nobody's going to be getting saved then. It's not going to be the day of salvation then. Now is the accepted time. You wait right past that day and it's too late. The Bible says there's a day of judgment coming. And if there's one thing the Bible is clear in both Testaments, and that is there is a day of judgment coming. The Lord has promised this day of His wrath, the day of His anger, the day of His condemnation. He's promised it since the beginning of the prophets. It's a day that's coming, and it's a day of wrath. It's a day not to be wanted. It's the day not to be prayed for. It's a bad day coming. You know, and I have a feeling that some people actually fear this day in some sense. They fear this day because they've seen movies about it or they've heard about it. And so many things are happening nowadays and they wonder, is it happening now? We've got people in Mexico worried about the Da Vinci Code. I haven't read the book or seen the movie, but I have read some articles about it. And it's just ludicrous. It's just a stupid book. It's just fiction. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not real at all. It's just fantasy. But people are worried about it because, you know, maybe it's the end of the time, end of the days. Who knows what's going to happen? There was a couple of young kids asking me the stupidest questions in the world, thinking that the world was going to end on June the 6th of 2006 because of the 666. What's going on? You know, we're not in ignorance about the end of the time in days. But you know, they are right to be worried about it because we're not coming up on this day in ignorance. It's not surprising us. How many times did the Bible give you signs of the times and tell you what's going to happen before the end day? It's not always going to be the day of salvation. And when that day comes, it will be too late. You're not going to get a forewarning. You're not going to get any more than these signs that He says. I've always wondered about, I thought about that one thing He says to Noah. He says, replenish the earth. And then I think about how full this earth is. Just how. Somebody was telling, man, we don't have enough water.
We're running out of water. Yeah, we are. But all over the world, they're running out of water. People are running out of water. And it's harder and harder to get water. They're putting limits on where they can drill wells. Why? There's too many people. And you think it's crowded here. Go to India. Go to China. Go to Indonesia. They're triple and quadruple our population, the density. Way more than we've got. The world's pretty much getting there. I mean, if the world was a fruit, it's ripe. It's ready to go. There's nothing stopping the Lord from picking it right now. There's nothing in the way. He doesn't have to do anything else to warn you. He could just say, okay, today is the day. Now is the day when the time of salvation is over. The day of trouble has come. Day of salvation's over. And you say, well, if that happens, then I'll get in that back door. I'll figure out another way. Since I have the heads up, you know, I know a little bit about the Bible. Somehow, some way, there'll be something that'll save me. But you know what the Bible says? That come that day, the Lord Himself will work against you. He'll be your enemy. He'll send you strong delusion and you'll believe a lie. Just how smart do you think you are? You cannot put off the day of salvation and think that there's some way you're going to make it in. It's not going to happen. You wait until it's too late, and it seriously is too late. Now, the Bible talks about the Lord knowing His own, and He's coming for us, and He's going to take us out. Most famous Christians aren't going to make it out. There's a whole lot of famous Christians. I'm afraid the Pope's not going to be flying away with us. He's not trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's trusting in his own righteousness, hoping to make it in by doing good works and religious substitutes. And that's not going to make it in. I imagine there's going to be a whole lot of people who, most people would say, oh yeah, they're Christians, we know them, that's what they... And they're not even saved. The Lord knows who are His. But you can't just count on whatever, you know, what somebody says. The Lord knows who's His. And you know, He'll know them by name. And the Bible says He'll call them by name and call them out. And then in that moment that He calls them out, they'll be transformed. They'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And they'll all be raised to be with Jesus Christ. And those that are left behind, they all will be damned because they received not the love of the truth. The Lord will send them strong delusion. They shall believe a lie. That doesn't scare you. That would make me tremble. The Lord will send them strong delusion. Why? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth when it was the time. The day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time. He says, you ought to be worried about the time because the Lord is coming. The world is going to end. It is going to be over. It's coming soon and it'll come unexpectedly. You won't know when it hits you and it'll be too late when it happens. Everybody ought to be worried about the time. But you know, that's not even the most urgent. I can think of another thing you ought to be worried about, and that's death. You got just a few days to worry about your salvation, to worry about doing the right thing, to worry about getting right with God, finding forgiveness. Just a little bit of time God has given you. Just a number of days. Wasn't it Moses that said, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom? Did you know you've got a certain number of days? And he even there mentions that it's, you know, about 70 years, 70 years. And that's more or less the lifespan. Maybe you think you're going to make it to 90. That's a real big difference there. 70 to 90. You know, that's really great. It's one of these great human goals that they've got for humanism. They're just really, one of the big goals is we want to live longer. But the truth is, that doesn't solve the problem. You have only a small amount of time. And the time that you have here is all you've got. Just a few days. You count them up. You can actually figure them out if you get the average. But the Lord has no reason to give you the average. He has no obligation. There's no guarantee. There's no impulse. Nothing that you can look to and say, this guarantees me a little bit more. A little bit more time. He owes you nothing. He could take away your life now and give you no reason for it and give you no explanation for it. You have nothing promised, not one more day. If you're not right with God and you fear away your time, you think there's still much more time, you could actually lose your soul by throwing away this warning. Now is the accepted time. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have another day. Nothing guaranteed. All you can say is, now He's inviting. Now He's accepting. Which is pretty good. He doesn't have to accept even now. He's under no moral obligation to accept anybody. You could actually be completely repentant. You could actually come to God and just really be sorry for your sins. And He would have no obligation, moral or otherwise, to receive your repentance. Repentance doesn't pay for your sins. Repentance doesn't take care of the problem. Repentance is what you need to do. That's the very first step. You need to do that. But that doesn't pay for your sins. That doesn't make you right with God. You could beg. You could cry. You could offer. You could do whatever you want. But God has no obligation to you. So the fact that He says now is the time means you ought to take advantage of it. Death is coming. You know you're going to die. You just don't know when. It's like, you know, our car doesn't have a, well, it has a gas gauge. And it works sometimes. You know, that's almost as good as working it not at all. It's a gas gauge that works sometimes. You talk about get yourself in trouble. When you fill it up, generally it'll go right over to full. And so you know, okay, it goes to full. But you could be driving 5 minutes down the road and it goes right down to empty. Actually, the light comes on saying you need to fill it up. We just can't count on it. Absolutely unsure. We don't know. We have to push that little trip odometer to make sure we know every time we fill up. And you know what we do? Sometimes somebody will forget to push that little trip odometer. And we're just, you know, we'll see it says 460 miles. And think, our car don't go that far. There's just no way. Somebody forgot to push that trip odometer. So you know what we do? We just make assumptions and just keep on driving. No, we stop at the next gas station and fill it up. You can't make assumptions about that. Who wants to push their car? I don't want to be walking out there. I'm going to go and find some place that'll sell me a bottle so that I can put gas in the bottle and walk back. That's nonsense. If you know you're in danger, if you see the problem, you have to take care of it right then. You don't wait till later on and hope for the best. That's just nonsense. You got to take care of it right then. You know you're going to die. You just don't know when. And if you die without Jesus Christ, it's too late.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care what they've told you. There's no salvation after you die. It doesn't matter whether it's your priest that told you that or whatever. It doesn't matter whether your mama told you that or whether it just makes good sense. There is no purgatory. You're not going to get a second chance. You die without Jesus Christ, your hope is lost. You have nothing else. Your chance, your opportunity for salvation is now. If it were not true, if there were a way that you could be saved after you die, He could not have said that verse. Now is the time. Today is the day. Well, why? I mean, if you can just wait until your life is over and then you go start worrying about your sins, there is absolutely no urgency. But they never speak that way in the Bible. It's urgent. That's why one of the biggest enemies of your souls is some religion that tells you there's a chance after you die. Because it'll make you so complacent about your sin and about your relationship with God and about getting right and getting saved, you'll think there's no rush. There's a back door. There's some other way. But the Bible says there's not. It is an urgent thing. You must get saved now. You must seek it at the first opportunity. You don't wait another day. Because you know you're going to die. And the moment you die, it's too late. But there's another problem. Some people think Some people think that I think I'm going to give myself to the Lord when I get older. I mean, I still got some things that I want to do. I got things that, you know, it's true that I'm going to die, but I think it's worth taking the chance that when I find out I'm going to die, then I'll start worrying about things. Or when I get closer to death. You see, because they have this idea that I'm not quite ready yet. I don't understand that way of thinking. I'm not ready yet. I believe in God. And I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I deserve hell. And I know that He's promised to condemn me. And I know that He died for me. And that He wants to save my soul. And I really do want to be saved. Just not now. Later. Some other time. When it's more convenient. When I've got less to offer. Less to lose. That's nonsense. In fact, I wonder if you even really believe anything it says.
That's right.
You see, because if you were truly repentant of your sin, you would want to be saved now. You're like Pharaoh. When Moses said, "Well, when do you want me to take the frogs away?" He says, "Tomorrow." I don't mind spending another night with the frogs. Frogs in my bed. Frogs under my pillow. Frogs in my bathtub. Frogs on my table. I know they stink, but I can handle it another day. Why? Because if you wait another day, it's more impressive that God says, "I'll take them away tomorrow." It seems to me it'd be more impressive for Him to take them away right now. If He'd asked me, "When do you want me to take away the frogs?" I'd have said, "Now! Right now!" And yet, we have people living in sin, living a miserable existence, thinking they want to be saved, just not now. That just doesn't make sense. But there's a problem with this. The whole thought process is a problem. Because it doesn't get easier to believe. It doesn't get easier to give yourself to Jesus Christ the older you get. Most people don't get saved when they're old. We've seen a couple of deathbed conversions lately. But that's the exception. Most people on their deathbed don't believe. Most people on the deathbed can't even understand you when you're trying to speak to them. You're laying there all in pain. Preacher comes in and says, "Are you right with God?" And you're in pain and you, who knows what you're saying? Who knows if you're even thinking right? Maybe you'll think, "I'll worry about this later." At the moment when you have no later, that's when you say, "I'm going to worry about this later." It doesn't get easier later on to believe or to give your life to Jesus Christ. And there's that thing we talked about either yesterday or the day before about the seared conscience. If you live in sin long enough, you will not be able to repent.
That's right.
You keep on shutting that conscience down, saying, no, leave me alone. Wait. After a while, it just quits working. And you do realize that repentance, that brokenheartedness for your sin, is a necessary step in salvation. If you don't have that, you don't have the right attitude to even come and ask for forgiveness from God. Because salvation is not just an escape from hell. Salvation is a brokenheartedness and a humility and a coming to God with the right attitude. Saying, "Lord, save my soul." This is something that God works in you. Breaking you with your conscience, dealing with you constantly over your sin until you finally realize, "I'm wrong and God's right. And I deserve condemnation. I deserve to die and go to hell. Oh Lord, save me." That's what'll save you. You speak to God asking for forgiveness. If you're only wanting to escape with what you've done and maybe you get away with a little bit more, then you're not going to get saved even if you ask Him. Lord wants to save you. But He wants you to be repentant. He wants you to first repent. The first words Jesus preached were, "Repent." First words came out of His mouth in His first sermon. Repent. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Jeremiah preached. That's what Ezekiel preached. They all preached that. Repent. You're wrong. You're going wrong. And you need to turn around. You need to say you're sorry. You need to be sorry for what you've done. God said, "No man repents of their wickedness. No man says, 'What have I done?'" They're not worried about what they've done. And look what happens then.
If that conscience that bothers you day after day after day saying, you need to get right with God, you need to get right with God, and you keep saying, no, no, no. You're an old man. You have no conscience. You can't even repent. You can't come to God. Don't do that. It doesn't get easier as you get older. You're in grave danger. Graver than you know. You might actually make it to 70, 80 years old. But if you make it with a ruined conscience, what hope do you have? Well, let me tell you something. There is hope even in that case because you can repent by faith. You can just take God's word for it. You don't have to have a lot of feelings. You can just say, God's right and I'm wrong. That's enough. Maybe not a tear come out of your eyes, but if you take God's word for it, He'll accept that even, which is an amazing gift as well. You can repent by faith. But that's not the only thing. Not only are we talking about a seared conscience, we're talking about accumulated offenses. Because what you don't realize is that sin is not just lying and stealing and fornication and murder and anger and hatred. Sin is also rejecting God. Putting Him off. That dishonor to God where you say, not right now. Well, how would you feel if you say, son, come here to your son. And he says, wait, not ready yet. Well, I don't know how you would do it, but that wouldn't happen in my house. There ain't nothing that'll get me up off my easy chair faster than that. When I say come here, I mean come here. Well, that's the Lord. How many times does the Lord call? Do you realize how difficult it is to get someone to be interested in God? And yet God has done what it takes to make you listen. He's done what it takes to move your spirit, to wake you up. He's done something to your conscience, to your desire. He's done something to make you seek Him because nobody seeks Him normally. And if He's done that, and then He calls you. He says, come. I want you to be saved. Come. And you say, not yet. Not yet. Every time you do, that's a sin. The Bible talks about trodding underfoot the Son of God and doing despite unto the Spirit of grace and counting the blood wherewith He sanctified. An unholy thing! As if, see, He can do all of that. He can die on the cross for you and do all of that and then call you with His Holy Spirit inviting you to come, and you can feel the tugging. You can feel the argument that He's giving you in your heart. You can feel that He wants you to be saved, and yet you keep putting Him off. That itself is a heinous crime. It's a sin against God. And how many offenses like that do you think God will abide? You say, oh no, God will abide them all and forever as long as... Nonsense. There will come a day where God will say, no more. That was your last call. He won't bother you again. You offend Him one too many times, He'll say, I'm sorry. I grieve. It hurts me. But no more. I won't give you another bother. I won't ring your telephone one more time. I won't burden that pastor to go knock on your door again. Just go your way. That's why He says now is the time. Now you as a Christian, you know all this, right? But then I get to thinking, how do Christians live? Are they living under this same understanding that now is the time? You know what He says over there in Ephesians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And you know what I find about Christians? They have almost exactly the same attitude. Did you know the Lord is coming? And His reward with Him? He's coming. Do you realize that after He comes, no more work to do. No more praying. No more faith. No more rewards. Everything is done already when He comes. It's all decided. And when He comes, it'll be too late for you too. Not for salvation. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that He's willing to save me, even though I'm no use to Him whatsoever. Which is a goodly percentage of Christians. No use to Him whatsoever. If He was saving you to get something out of you, like a prized cow or something, He wasted His money. No, He's not. He wasn't doing it for that. He saved you, and His Word is good. He'll save you. But you're just throwing away the time. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days, as they go by, are your enemy. Day after day after day, stealing away every opportunity you've got, as a Christian even. No more winning souls after that day. No more praying. No more faith. No more victory over sin. It's just all done. Finished. You lose those opportunities forever. And yet day goes by day, day after day. Time's a-wasting. Time keeps going. And Christians just keep on going the same old way. Thinking, one of these days I think I'm going to read the book of Hebrews. One of these days, maybe after football season, I'm going to preach the gospel somewhere. One of these days, I'm going to talk to my neighbor. And the Lord's coming. And His reward is with Him. And your death is nearing every day. I'm telling you, Christians have the same attitude. It's as if the time means nothing. It's as if the days aren't evil. It's as if the days are made to fritter away. If not now, when?
Amen.
I mean, if you're not going to do what the Lord tells you to do, or what you know you ought to do now, well, when are you planning on doing it? Isn't that exactly the same foolishness that we warn unbelievers about? It's exactly the same attitude. It's that total carelessness about what God has given us. Redeeming the time. God has a will. He has a will for our lives. And this will, what He's trying to accomplish in us before eternity, is time specific. It requires time. It requires investment. He saves you young so that He has the time to mold you and make you and do things in you and through you. And yet Christians just fritter away that time. Almost no greater waste of time than watching television, right? Amen.
Amen.
Almost no greater waste of time. You want to watch an hour of television, you say, I'm just going to watch an hour. And then you wind up being 3 hours, 4 hours. And then you're tired. You're yawning and something comes on you like, and you stay up so late. You know, because I know. I know you're exactly like me. You got to watch out. Because the Bible says the days are evil. And now is the time. And everything you're going to do for Christ has to be done now. And is it possible that you as a Christian could have your conscience seared, and day after day after day you keep on shutting down that voice that tells you, don't watch that program. That one's no good. And then after a while, that voice just don't work anymore. And you become so full of it. If we could be distinguished by smell, nobody could distinguish us from the world. Because we smell just like them. We look just like them. Boy, that's a shame.
Amen.
Is it possible that what you're doing is offensive to God and that these offenses could accumulate until He makes you a castaway? Doesn't the Bible talk about Christians who are castaways?
Right.
And that He could just say, okay, no more. I'm not messing with them anymore. I gave them salvation. That's good. They'll rejoice for eternity in that. But I will not bother them anymore. I won't call them. I won't deal with them. And when they read the Bible, it'll be almost a dead book. Why? Because God says, I'm done. How many times can you offend me with that?
I offer and I offer and I offer, and you constantly offend me, and your offenses have accumulated so much that I say, no more. Put him on the shelf. Cast him away. Set him aside. Useless. My, if we can talk to the lost, and I do, I am talking to you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in grave danger. It might be this instant. This actually might be the last time God chooses to speak to you. This might be the very last time you get an opportunity even to hear the gospel or to believe the gospel. You might walk outside and die. You don't know. But even if you don't die, it just might be God says, I'm done. I gave you your chance. You realize how many people have had less opportunity than you. God's not obligated. And so I can tell you that with all sincerity, your time is wasting. Now is the time. And so as a Christian, I have to say exactly the same thing. Your time is wasting. It's going by day after day. That clock doesn't stop ticking. It just keeps going. And the farther you get, the more likely it is to end on you. You're like that car with the gas gauge that don't work, and yet you're just not willing to stop and fill it up. You say that? It's gone 100 miles. Status quo. Bet it'll just keep on going. No, but the more miles you go, the less likely it is to keep on going. It's getting more dangerous every single day you put it off. Why did he say redeeming the time? Because there's something to do. There's someone to please. There's some goal, some objective that God has for us as Christians. He doesn't want to leave you like that. If you're going to improve yourself, now is the time. If you're going to work on that besetting sin, now is the time. If you're going to learn how to forgive, now is the time. If you're going to learn how to be faithful, now is the time. You waste any more time, you are offending God.
That's right.
Every moment you waste time in spiritual things. Now, I'm not saying that every moment of your day has to be filled with activity. You got to rest. And the Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to fight. And there's a time to make peace. And there's a time. You've got time. You have time for recreation and you have time. But you had better make sure you don't throw away the times that you should have set aside for reading your Bible and for serving God and for prayer and for living for God. Because now is the time. This is the accepted time, and it's the only time you've got. And every day you keep throwing that time away, every single day you keep putting it off, is a day lost. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. We're going to stand and we're going to sing number 235. Number 235. Sing it out, please.